Good morning, everyone. Have you ever looked at the extreme commercials on the TV that promise, make all the promises that they make? You name it, growing hair, removing hair, gain muscle mass, lose body fat, feel better, look better, smell better, long hair, short hair, silkiness, coarse or in between, soft skin, shiny skin, silky smooth and pimple-free skin, free of joint pain, back pain, and muscle aches. See better, think smarter, and read faster. And you can do it all in 30 days. What a hope we are given. The definition of radical is the act of affecting the fundamental nature of something. Today in our readings, we see some things that I think are pretty radical. We see people making a radical difference. Some were radically changed in this world that was radically impacted by the act of God. What do I mean by all that? Well, when we talk about making a radical difference, meaning you can make a major difference in the world around you, people see it. They begin to experience it. A radical change is a drastic change, something that happens to make you go into a different direction than you were originally going. When I speak of a radical world, I mean a far-reaching world, a world that is looking for answers in so many places. They read the advertisements of life, but nothing really satisfies that hunger. But there is an answer. And we can see great examples from our readings today. One example in this is this man named Saul, later to become Paul. Saul is making his journey on the Damascus Road. And once again, as we have said before, Saul is a very learned Pharisee of the highest degree. He's a Hebrew scholar. He's had a wealth of knowledge. He carried a lot of weight with his credentials. And he also was a Roman citizen. And he has a deep-seated hatred for Christians. He loathes them. He was present at the stoning of Stephen. He was rousting up believers in Jesus wherever he could. It was unthinkable that a man who was thought to be dead could still have such an influence on people, was his mindset. In our lesson today, we learned that Saul had gotten permission to go to Damascus. And he had a plan, and it was all mapped out, cut and dry, bring down the followers of Christ. But as he was traveling to Damascus, something radical happened. He had this wonderful experience. Imagine traveling down the road and thinking everything that you knew to be truth, and yet you are struck down by a blinding light. And then out of this light comes a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I don't know about you, but that would get my attention. Worse yet, Saul was struck blind by this encounter, but was told to continue to Damascus and get further instruction. This is a graphic object lesson for Saul's blindness and in his own heart. It will be another lesson for Saul in how God works through people to bring about this plan in our lives. The Lord didn't just strike Saul blind and then open his eyes. He's going to use someone else. You see, God wants to work something out in someone else's heart as well. Ananias was a follower of Christ. He had a vision about Saul, and the Lord asked Ananias to go and pray for him. And we hear these words from Ananias: "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." Now I want to ask you a question. Think of the worst person you have ever come across in your life, or maybe you just knew about. Now, as you think about that, the Lord comes to you and says, "I love that person. I have a plan for their life. And I want to use them. And I want you to tell them about me." what would be your reaction? You see, we can come up with what I call the Jonah syndrome. God had prepared the hearts of the people of Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to go because Jonah didn't think they were worthy to receive what God had to offer. Many might have reservations about God's direction. But if you were walking in the Spirit, as Ananias was, and if you knew that this was the Lord speaking to you, you would also know you have nothing to fear. You see, when the Lord brings together a heart that is aching for the truth and a heart that is obedient to the truth, transformation begins. That's an open door for the Lord to do something that he wants to do. Saul had all this head knowledge. He knew a lot about the Old Testament. He knew a lot about Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. Ananias knew Jesus. He was being led by the Spirit. And even though he had questions about the direction that he was getting, he knew this was the Lord. He knew if God is directing him, he's going to be okay. That's how God works in his people. I can't tell you how many times that has happened with people in this congregation. God will speak to someone about praying for someone else, and one being prayed for knows that someone else is praying for them. Then something wonderful happens. Issues that seem like mountains are moved in people's lives. God begins to move in the hearts of people about new ministry and new direction. God's plan is initiated. There's not one of us that doesn't plan for something. When you get up in the morning, you have a plan of sorts all made out for what your day is going to look like. Even if you decided the evening before that all you're going to do today is read a book, you have a plan. When we go on vacation, even if it's a loose vacation, you have some idea of the direction that you're going to take, approximately where you will spend the night as you go. Debbie and I have already mapped out our vacation because our granddaughter told us what we were going to do. If God is who he says he is, and he is, then think of how much more exciting it is to know that he has this wonderful plan for you. He wants to be interactive in your life. He will use you daily. And that is the point Jesus is telling Peter in our gospel reading today. This is another example of God really cares for us, even when we mess up. Jesus once again shows up in this marvelous way. They've already seen Jesus twice. It's been a unique week. Peter finally says, okay, guys, I'm tired. I'm going fishing. Isn't that great? Let's just go fishing. That's his trade. That's what he wants to do. He wants to unwind. It's been a rough week. So they fish and fish and fish, and like so many times when I fish, they get nothing. Then a voice comes from the shore, throw the net over to the other side. And when those nets were filled, they knew immediately that it was the Lord on shore, because it's happened before. So they can't wait to get to him. Peter can't wait as he jumps out and runs towards him. And as they were eating, Jesus has this humbling conversation with Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Notice Jesus called him Simon this time, not Peter the rock. You see, the last time they were at a fire together, Peter said publicly before the disciples, I would never deny you. However, publicly, he denied Jesus three times. Now, publicly, Peter is restored. Three times in this question was coming out. It's in a question and a commission. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Even though Peter was grieved by being asked three times, what a contrast to what he experienced earlier. You see, Peter was experiencing a radical transformation in his heart to carry out a plan that God has just for him. And when you look at these two readings together, you see God coming in wonderful ways to begin a work in the hearts of his people. And then we see that work taking place, setting a foundation for the church, the body of Christ. God steps out of heaven, perfect in every way, and entered us into our radical, far-reaching world filled with cloudiness, with all kinds of issues, and begins to move by his Spirit. But it takes action on our part when the Spirit of God says to go over there and talk to that person. Peter jumped from that boat and ran to the Lord, and with penitent heart says, "Yes, Lord, I will feed your sheep." Ananias, knowing the man Saul, who he was and what he has been doing, said, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I will go to Saul. I will pray for him." And then Saul, after experiencing Christ, walks out of that room after being prayed for, and he said, and we read, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." "Yes, Lord, I'll feed your sheep." Do you see how God is working through those he calls upon? Do you see that we too need to be ready? We too need to be fed, and we need to feed. God wants to work in and through each and every one of us who call on him. The Acts of the Apostles were not just for the apostles. They continue today. As I mentioned in my sermon on Easter, Jesus prayed that we, the ones who would be touched and brought into this relationship through Christ, through the continued ministry of his apostles as they took the word out, and by his Spirit, that we may be one with God as well. Why? So that the world might believe, Jesus said. His desire is that hearts be radically changed. Because, folks, that's the only way to break that which binds us. This radical, far-reaching world is looking for answers. And they are looking in all kinds of dead-end places. And when God wants them so desperately to seek after him. And he has given them the only way to get there, through himself and his Son, Jesus Christ. We serve a God who has a marvelous plan for each and every one who turns to him. And he asks of us the same question he asked Peter. "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Give them what they long for and what they want to hear or need to hear." Too many times I think we tend to feed people what they want to hear. Scripture tells us that is teaching what itching ears want to hear. God wants to give us what we need to get right with him. That's what it's all about. God wants us to be radically changed. There's a wonderful lady that I know, my wife, who once said this. She said that God is a provider. He not only provides for our needs, but he provides for his needs. And his biggest need is us. He is love, and love has to have an object. She then said, "We are the answer to the biggest need of his heart." That is so true. And Jesus said it himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in him would have eternal life. So let us continue to pray. Let us grow in our faith. Let us be ready and willing to do what he calls us to do. May we never hide who we are to the world around us, but always with faith believing to carry out the call that God has in our lives. Jesus said in the close of our gospel reading today, "Follow me." And in doing that, you will be radically changed. Your mind will be enlightened and your soul will be heightened. You will be empowered by the Spirit. You will have peace beyond understanding, grace that is undeserved, life that is eternal, and sin that is defeated. You can have a radical faith that will change a radical world. And best of all, it won't take you 30 days to do it. It'll be available to you right now, if you're ready. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you came into this world to radically change it and to change our lives. And you have a plan for all of us, Lord God. They're not all the same plan, except to love you and to love others. And to, whenever you call us into action, you will call us, Lord. Help us not hide that. Help us reveal it to all that you want us to reveal it to. May we be enlightened, Father, by your presence in our lives. Give us that excitement, Lord God, to be with you and to share your word and to carry it to the world around us. Father, you have so much for us to do. And I pray, Father, that you would empower us by your Spirit to be the people you called us to be, radically changed by a loving God. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.